Chapter 19. Harvest, February 22, 2525. News of Gladsheim's destruction traveled fast, much more quickly than the few hours it took Avery's container to make its way across the Ida and up the Bifrost. By the time the container eased into Utgard, most of the planet knew what the aliens had done, and would surely do again. Captain Ponder had been in contact with Lieutenant Commander Alcigny throughout their journey. She had told them Utgard, already packed with close to 200,000 full-time residents, was quickly overflowing with refugees from small settlements in the Vigrond. Avery had expected to find a mass of humanity inside the depot, but the container shed adjacent to the anchor for the Tiara's middlemost strand was largely empty, at least as far as humans were concerned. Every empty space inside the massive warehouse was packed with busy Jotuns. Jumping down from his container's yawning door, Avery was shocked by the number and variety of the machines. There were dozens of the familiar yellow and black loaders, carrying light green plastic bins labeled food and water and blankets. As they sped their emergency supplies to the waiting containers, swerved to avoid one another with precise last-minute timing, the loader's large wheels squealed loudly on the shed's smooth polycrete floor, leaving faint black rubber skids. But there were also Jotun models Avery had never seen before. Triangle-treaded supervisory units and spider-like maintenance all-in-ones. The latter scurried all around the containers, checking for surface faults and repairing them with short, blinding blasts from their integrated welders. One of a collection of tools attached to flexible booms equipped with grasping claws. As the Marines and their recruits headed for the shed's exit between two container rows, they kept their helmets on and shoulders hunched. The all-in-one's breakneck labor was creating unavoidable cascades of sparks, and no one wanted to get burned. Outside the depot, Avery loaded into a waiting flatbed Warthog with Das, Jenkins, Forsell, and the rest of the 1A recruits. As they pulled into what Avery thought was heavy traffic, he realized all the civilian sedans and haulers packing the boulevard were empty. Some still had their engines running, others sat with doors wide open. But the only other vehicles actually driving on the road were blue and white patrol sedans from Utgard's constabulary. These had their roof lights flashing and PA speakers blaring, "Please remain calm. Stay inside the mall until further notice. Please remain calm." As the Warthog weaved through the abandoned cars north along the mall, Avery saw the park was even more packed than it had been during the solstice celebration. But the tenor of this crowd was much different. There was none of the mixing and mingling that the celebration's music and alcohol-licensed food stalls had encouraged, just a single, silent huddle. Even the color of the crowd had changed. Gone were the bright pastels of the picnickers' semi-formal attire. Now the mall's lawns were choked with dirty denim and faded cotton. The lieutenant commander hadn't mentioned any civilian unrest, but here and there, Avery saw constables on foot patrol. The officers wore helmets and riot plating over their light blue uniforms. Some even carried humbler stun devices and clear plastic shields. As his Warthog approached the parliament, Avery noted that the Charlie squads had reinforced the main gate with an S-curve of sandbag berms. The militiamen seemed jumpy. Their eyes were locked on the mall, and their hands were wrapped tight around their MA-5s.
"Keep an eye on him," Avery said to Forsell as their Warthog came to a stop at the top of the Parliament's curved drive.
He nodded toward Jenkins, who had already dismounted and was slinking away, head down toward a line of canvas tents the militia had erected in the Parliament's gardens.
"Don't let him do anything stupid."
Jenkins hadn't spoken to anyone since they left Gladsheim, since he'd yelled at Avery. He wasn't angry anymore, just deeply depressed. Avery doubted the recruit would really do something as crazy as take his own life, but Jenkins had just lost his entire family, and Avery wasn't willing to rule anything out. Forsell nodded, shouldered the padded rectangular bag that held his scope and Jenkins' BR-55, and followed quickly after his fellow marksman.
"Round up your squad leaders,"
Captain Ponder said, approaching with Byrne and Healy from a second flatbed Warthog. "We'll debrief soon as I'm done with Thune." As the captain mounted the parliament steps, he paused, leaned against the granite railing, and clutched his chest. Healy stepped quickly to his side, but Ponder waved him off. The corpsman had strongly suggested that the captain not take part in Gladsheim's evacuation, knowing any exertion would only worsen his injuries.
Ponder had, of course, told Healy exactly where he could stick his suggestions. But now, watching the captain pretend not to struggle up the steps, Avery knew he was paying for his devotion to his mission and his men.